You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hello there.
I'm going to do my Obi-Wan Kenobi. Hello there. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. The foolish Secret Service director finally resigned. Now, let me rephrase that. Come on. What a joke. What a joke. Thank God she was protecting Pepsi products before this job. So, God bless her. So, don't let the door hit you on the rear on the way out, lady. Bye-bye. Bye, Felicia.
I like how she takes, she said, I take full responsibility. If you took full responsibility, you would have resigned already. You know, you mishandled that incredibly bad, right? And you're taking full responsibility. How do you have a building that's 150 yards from the place, not in the zone? Give me a break.
I feel also that she could be a perfect hire at U of A right now. I'd like to see her. I'd move her over to the U of A immediately. Now, I want to do one non-movie thing before we get to your nine others. Okay. Real quick.
Yeah.
So the U of A, they're a little short on cash flow, I heard, right?
You think?
That's what I heard, too.
They're firing everybody.
So they went through and fired people, unless you were a DEI worker, okay? Yeah. Like if you worked in the DEI department, okay? They fired you. But then, I don't know if you guys noticed this last week, they had a job fair.
I saw that.
So did they fire the wrong people?
No, you could hire them cheaper. That's the whole philosophy there. You can hire them cheaper.
At a starting wage.
I got to tell you just the one thing on that. Okay, so she fires IMG. And I'm not an IMG
fan.
Who's
this?
You know who it is.
The athletic director.
Yeah.
Croissant
Bouillabaisse. So she fires them. And that's fine. Okay, you're cutting costs and everything. You're going to do that. And like I said, I'm not a fan of them. But you better have your ducks in a row. You better have somebody that can internally be able to take that and run with
Amen.
It and bring as much revenue in as IMG
This
did.
Is like the town of Oro Valley firing Visit Tucson and having no actual real plan.
It's exactly like that. And not having a plan at all. And I'm afraid that your revenues are going to come way short because you had IMG working this thing, and now you're going to do it internally. You better have that in line.
For people who don't know how IMG works, basically they pay the U of A a flat fee to start off with.
Correct.
Right? And then it's IMG's salespeople's job is to generate enough revenue that pays the U of A their money, and they make a profit
sure.
after that.
Yeah.
Now, there may be some profit sharing after that if they really hit numbers bigger.
I think there probably was.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's where... So literally, it's just guaranteed dough. So what... incroyable Cordon Bleu's thinking here is that in-house she can make more money than whatever the flat fee
and
IMG was in.
I hope she does. But the fact of the matter is the proof will be in the pudding and see what the revenues line up compared to IMG's.
You know what she did? Being that she never really lived here for a long time and since she went to college here,
right.
She understood. She talked to the Tucson Metro Chamber and Zach and Mike told her what an amazingly... economically vibrant place the city of Tucson is, and she said, "There's enough money here that we can do." No, I'm just kidding. It's all sarcasm.
No, it's just like you should see the look on my face. Anyway,
all right, let's get back to Spencer Tracy movies. If you have your favorite, 790-2040. We're doing this today because I'm not going to be here Friday. Matt and I are doing the Wake Up Tucson Driving School for Justine Wadsack and a few other people. So
yes, the next one up.
I'm suing you. I'm not on your calendar.
The next one up at number nine is The Last Hurrah, done in 1958.
Yes.
The Last Hurrah is very apropos to what we're talking about politically because Spencer Tracy plays this New England mayor who's running for office, and all of a sudden all these accusations of corruption and various nefarious things going on during his administration surface, and he's got to fight that off. And it was 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. You can see it on Fubo TV for free.
Love this movie.
It's good.
And it's a sleeper. Most of you have never heard of it. Okay.
Right.
And so, of course, I'm going to like it because it has that local politics angle of what does small town politics look like?
Correct.
Right? And this is in the 60s in Massachusetts area, right? So there's this old Protestants versus the new Irish Catholics thing going
correct.
On.
Yeah.
Right? But he is a unbelievably charming mayor guy, oh, but he knows how to play
everything.
He's got
the lifelong politician thing working big time.
All the grandmothers love him, right? So check this out. Spencer Tracy, Jeffrey Hunter, right?
Right.
Pat O'Brien, his buddy, right? Donald Crisp, he's, as the Cardinal, he's great. You would recognize him. He's the dad from Lassie and How Green Was My Valley.
Basil Rathbone is in this.
Basil Rathbone.
A favorite of ours.
And he's a bad guy, like the kind of the, he's the leader. He's the guy who owns the newspaper.
Right.
But he's from the old Protestant money that, and they run an idiot against him in the election, right?
Mm-hmm.
John Carradine and all these character actors as it keeps going on.
Does John Carradine has such a great profile?
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at him on the screen, you know it's him immediately, and it's just like he is so good.
Like
it's,
Raymond Massey and him kind of have that feel to him, right?
Yeah.
But there's even a part where what they do is to screw over Basil Rathbone.
Right.
He makes Basil Rathbone's son, who's a playboy idiot, the fire chief.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Right. Yeah,
and it's like leverage over his dad.
Big time.
Right. Yeah. Last, I want, you know, when Heller used to do the movie on 4th of July?
Yes.
One of my dreams was we do the last hurrah. So maybe we'll do a movie thing.
Should have been.
The Wakeys will love this film.
It's a great film.
What's your next one?
Next one up is Father of the Bride, the original. There's been two remakes afterwards. It was done in 1950. He plays the father, obviously, and 90% by the reviewers on Rotten Tomatoes.
Charming as hell.
Yeah, very, very, very good.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, it has Elizabeth Taylor, of course, is his daughter. And
she's perfect in this
they
film.
Have a, it's an interesting relationship that takes place, and the two of them interacting with each other on the screen is just magical.
I think it's one of the better films that, earlier films, we know that Mockingbird does this, but that father-daughter relationship.
Indeed.
Which is really the crux of the movie.
And Vincent Minnelli is the director and does a masterful job in this as well.
No, so. Very good movie. And I do like the Steve Martin remake.
Oh, I think it was good. Although I always joke because Sydney was very young. I think she was less than a year old, and
that's your daughter.
Yeah, and we took her to the movies, and I spent more time out in the lobby because that's the one time she acted up out in public, and so I had to take her out in the lobby, and my wife watched the whole movie.
Wow!
There you go. There's a little side note.
She missed Martin Short as Frunk. what's your next one?
Next one up is, I know another favorite of yours is Adam's Rib, done in 96%. Think about that. It was done in 1949, and 96% of the people who viewed it loved it. You can see it on Tubi, and I think it's one of his best films with Katharine Hepburn. And they did a lot of movies together. Like I said, he did 75. I didn't actually count how many he did with Katharine Hepburn, but it was a boatload.
You know what's my secret fact about this thing?
Go ahead.
There's two people who wrote the script.
Okay.
Garson Kanin, that sounds fake, and Ruth Gordon.
Oh, Ruth Gordon. The Ruth Gordon from The Waltons?
That was not Ruth Gordon.
Just kidding.
The actress.
Yeah,
Ruth
I know.
Gordon.
I know
she
Ruth
wrote
Gordon.
This. She co-wrote this.
Really?
Yep.
That's interesting.
You are correct.
Look
so
at you.
This is the one basically about the husband and wife on opposing lawyers in a case of a woman shooting her husband.
Correct. And they're on opposite ends, and the interactions between the two are very good.
I can watch a Hepburn Tracy movie anytime, but this is one of the better ones.
Well, it was because they were involved personally. I think that transformed to the film, the screen, where basically their interactions were so natural, you know, when they were together.
Never helped Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, but we'll get there.
Well, yeah. Well, I think you have to look at the characters there,
thank you.
Right? Okay. Thank
What's
you.
Your next one?
Next one up is one of my favorites, the first film I've ever seen him in, as a young kid, The Old Man and the Sea. I had read the book by Hemingway and absolutely loved it and couldn't wait for it to be on the screen for me to see on TV, and I did, and it was fantastic. You can see it on Apple TV. And it's the story of this old man in Cuba who is well past it as far as his best fishing days, and
basically he befriends this young boy in town, and he tells him all these old stories and what have you. And basically, a lot of the townspeople make fun of him because he's not a very good fisherman anymore. Well, he goes out in this what is the equivalent of a rowboat, and he captures this gigantic fish, and it's really, he's out there for 3 days trying to bring this thing in, and it's absolutely amazing film. I just absolutely love it.
I love it. No, yeah. That's a great one. Yeah. I mean, what a streak he had right there. It's like he went Desk Set, which I like. It's another half, which was two movies after Black Rock, then Old Man and the Sea, then Last Hurrah, right?
Right.
And then he went to Inherit the Wind. I don't know if that's on your list.
It is. But okay. He, it's okay. He was nominated for this film, but lost to David Niven for Separate Tables.
That's crap.
Well,
crap.
That's the way it goes, man.
You
that's
blew
the way
it. It goes. 8:17 in the morning. We've got to do a couple. How many more movies we got to go?
We got five more to go.
Five more to go with the great Mark Van Buren. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Mayor Ed Honey, who's going to owe me lunch in about 3 weeks, is on with...
What's the bet there?
He thinks Wadsack's going to beat Vince Leach.
I don't know how you could support her, but anyway.
Well...
Everybody has their...
We can't be right all the time.
No, we can't.
So
most of the time.
8:18 in the morning, you're on Wake Up Tucson. That was Rich. That was Matt's Richard Nixon there. Little horse, I think. That horse impression brought to you by Track Ranch, therapeutic riding and kids. Mark Van Buren.
I
almost called you Matt Van Buren.
That's okay. I've been called worse.
Thank you. What's your next Spencer Tracy movie?
You already mentioned it, but Inherit the Wind, done in 1960. 93% by the reviewers and 91% by the audience. So really, really solid. And it's based on a real-life court drama. Dick York plays the defendant, and Spencer Tracy is his lawyer. And what Dick York is accused of is educating students on evolution. And Frederick March plays the other lawyer on the other side, and he's on behalf of the biblical study and the conflict of it. And it is it's an amazing story. I love the way Spencer Tracy cross-examines various people on the stand, and it's so well done. It's directed by Stanley Kramer, and just very, very well done.
So... This play was huge.
Yes.
Huge in the 50s.
Yep. It's a very timely event, right? Because, it hits home. There's a lot of people, evangelicals, that basically don't buy into evolution at all and are very staunch about it, right? And then you have the other side, the scientists, who basically say, well, this is what happened, and it's just kind of interesting to see how it unfolds.
No, there's a good timeless little conflicts here in this, and again, the acting's amazing. Even Gene Kelly in a drama role.
Right.
He's pretty solid, but Frederick March as Brady is unbelievable. Tracy's great. Dick York actually acts.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
From Bewitched, if you don't know who we're talking about, the first Darren on Bewitched.
Thank you.
Yes.
And then Harry Morgan.
Harry Morgan, yeah.
And Claude Akins. And Noah Beery, that's Rockford's father.
Hey,
that's right. Oh, loved him.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Norman Fells in this as a WGN radio technician.
From Three Is Company.
Maybe he'll play you one day.
Could happen.
He could. And you can see this movie on Tubi and Pluto.
What's your next one?
Next one up is, this was really timely as well. You want to talk about something that was basically got the public all stirred up. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner in 1967, 85% by the audience on Rotten Tomatoes. You can see it on Amazon. It was done, directed by Stanley Kramer. And it's basically an interracial couple that wants to get married. Sidney Poitier plays the fiancé. And it is Catherine Houghton plays his bride-to-be, and Spencer Tracy is the father, and Katharine Hepburn are the parents of the girl, and then his parents, Sidney Poitier's parents, are invited as well, and it's amazing when you watch it, and I was watching clips of it yesterday, how you watch it and just. the prejudicial viewpoints from both sides are there, and it's just like, wow. And in 1967, this just wasn't done. As a matter of fact, in 1967, there were several states where it was illegal.
Yeah,
you know, and so this really brings this to the forefront, and good for them. I mean, Stanley Kramer bringing this to the screen is amazing. Really, really is.
Last movie for him.
Yeah.
Was this.
Yeah.
And he did get nominated.
Yeah, he died shortly after, I think a couple weeks afterwards, and it was really kind of sad, but there's this one phrase that Sidney Poitier is talking to his father, and his father's dead set against this marriage, and he says, "You think of yourself as a colored man. I think of myself as a man."
Well,
which I think
that's where we're all supposed to head, right?
I mean, I thought was just so it just says it all.
Well, if you think the color of your skin determines the quality of your soul, you're lost.
Right. Exactly.
That's where you're at.
So,
all right, let's see if we can sneak one more in.
Judgment at Nuremberg, done in 1961, 92, and 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. You can see it on Sling TV.
Where did this movie take place? I'm just kidding.
This is about the trials of all the Nazis in after World War II, and Spencer Tracy plays a judge, and he's so good in it. You know, and it has Burt Lancaster as a German, Richard Widmark, Marlena Dietrich is in the movie, Judy Garland, Maximilian Schell. It is William Shatner is in this movie, and it is just so well done, and the interactions that take place is. It's pretty amazing.
You also forgot Tim Stellar's bosses in this, Werner Klempler.
So from Hogan's Heroes.
You are correct. Yep. So, but we got how many
I
more?
Know
we
nothing.
Got two more to go.
Two more to go. Was that Schultz? Was that little Timmy?
And they're both Academy Award winners. So.
Oh, great! You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.
Book 'em, Dano.
I'm never going to get mad, Neely, to stop that.
My favorite Jack Lord line.
Wow.
What, book him, Dano? I used to love this show.
And it's one of the best TV theme songs ever, right? Gotta be. So.
You know, that's the thing that's missing from a lot of shows today is the theme songs, because the theme songs were very identifiable and quite good.
Yeah, there's a margarine of soundtrack going on right now.
Yeah, it's not good.
All right, two more Spencer
Tracy.
Two
Tracy's. More to go, and he won the Academy Award for both of them. So
number two.
1938, Boys Town. 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. You can see it on Roku. It stars Mickey Rooney, Lee J. Cobb, and of course, Spencer Tracy is the priest who founds Boys Town, which is a community for wayward youths. And Mickey Rooney, who plays Whitey Marsh, who is a delinquent, and he convinces him to go to Boys Town, and there's some struggles with him, and it makes for a very interesting story. And Spencer Tracy is so dynamic in this, because he plays this compassionate priest, but at the same time he's able to deal with Mickey Rooney in some very difficult ways, and takes care of it. So takes care of business. I really love the story, and even though it was done in 1938, I think it still holds up.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. That was the first question. Does this really hold up?
It does. I
explain, Lucy.
It does, because the story is sound, and it. You know, growing up Catholic, and I'm not anymore, but growing up Catholic and seeing a priest interact with people like this, to me it's very meaningful to me, because that's what I think it should be, and I don't think is enough, right?
I agree with that.
Yeah, and it really hits home with me. That's the way that it should be for me.
No, I'm with you. Yeah. I've seen priests who go out there.
Yes.
And they do make a huge difference.
Absolutely. And they can. But most don't. They play it safe and don't care for that.
I see it with my buddy Father Matt at the Newman Center up at NAU, because that's like a huge battleground for
sure
what's going on in people's lives there. But the guy that was the priest when I was there is this guy, Father Mike Straley. And Mike would sit in his clerical black shirt with his collar. He was kind of a cowboy, so he wore jeans, his cowboy boots, right? And he would sit on the most public table at the student union with a cup of coffee. And at 2 hours a day, he would just sit there in the afternoon.
See, to me, that's what it's really all about, or it should be, right? Where you're interacting with people that you can affect their lives in a positive way. Isn't that what it should really be all about?
And what happened was he would just sit there.
Yep.
And people would come up to him because they saw the collar.
Yeah.
Right? And it'd either be Catholic kids who were feeling lonely or crappy about things. But then he said half my people that came to talk to me were not Catholic. They were just kids struggling with things or teachers or things like that. Yeah. He goes, I did more confessional work at that table at the union than I did in my confessional.
My wife, Catherine, went to LSU, and she used to go to Mass every Sunday. And the priest at the church right next to LSU wore a tiger. What's the scarf that they put on called?
A burqa.
No, I'm just kidding. You know what? It was some vestment type thing.
Oh, yeah. It's your vestment.
But,
yeah,
but it was
soul.
But
soul.
It was a tiger.
Like your soul.
It was tiger. Had tiger stripes. And one time, her parents came up to visit, and my mother-in-law thought that was terrible that he was doing that.
Sure.
And Catherine said to her, he's trying to relate to the students. And he did a very similar thing where he would visit campus once a week and sit down and talk with students about things like that. And that's, you know, that's what it should be all about. And it's just like, I think people lose sight of that.
So I think the clergy, no matter what your faith is, your number one job should be to be bring close people closer to God.
No question.
Right. And a lot of priests and rabbis and pastors forget about that, sad to say.
Yeah.
What's your next one?
Number one, Captain's
Courageous. The granddaddy of them all.
Captain's Courageous, 1937, 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. You can see it on Tubi. It's directed by Victor Fleming. And it's the story of, first I want to mention Freddie Bartholomew, who is the childhood actor in there. And he was big in his day. He played Little Lord Fauntleroy in that movie. But he's a son.
Little Lord Fauntleroy.
He's the son of a very wealthy man, and they're on a cruise ship. Well, he gets thrown overboard, okay? And Spencer Tracy, on a fishing boat,
right,
rescues him. And they have this incredible chemistry where, he ends up working on the fishing boat and, the various interactions to the rest of the fishermen on the boat and Spencer Tracy. And the relationship that these two have is a magical bond. And it really, it's almost like a father-son relationship where, you know, he cuts through his own father he had trouble relating to because he was a very wealthy man and a businessman and all this stuff, where he could really relate to Spencer Tracy, and Spencer Tracy is just top notch in this.
Yeah, this is, I think, a little bit under the radar for the average person out there. Captain's Courageous,
yeah,
1937.
Right. It's written by Rudyard Kipling, and a few of us have heard of him. And Lionel Barrymore is in it, Melvin Douglas, Mickey Rooney. Good story. Good story.
Awesome. Well, yep. Good job today, my friend.
Thank you. It was fun.
Thanks for coming in early.
Yep. My pleasure.
Matt and I are teaching driving lessons this Friday, so we won't be here.
Yeah, I heard that. 71 and a 35, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. How do you explain that? And you can explain it any way
persecuted
you want.
Speedometer error.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. No, she did it. I mean, there's no question about that.
Persecuting.
Yeah.
So. Oh, there he is, Mayor Ed. Did you bring my breakfast, Yomi? Oh, you look like he did. Perfect. All right. Mark, have a great day. Matt, we're going to go early, and then I'm going to finish this hoot nanny off, as we like to say. Mark is the man, and he'll be back in a couple of weeks with amazing movies. Yeah. We're going to work on top 10 maybe American actors list and top 10
actresses.
Yeah. So we'll do that. So you're on Wake Up Tucson. Oh my God! Did Mayor Ed buy me a? This doesn't constitute you paying off the bet, getting donuts. You're on Wake Up Tucson. 10:30 The Voice. Little Street Fighting Man by the Stones. Here we go.
You are addicted to Tricky Dick.
I didn't sound right. Wow. This is like when we did All Italian Radio. When we did All Italian Bad Accent Radio, and then I got a call from Carmine Rossi from the Italian Anti-Defamation League. Then Senator Geary from Nevada made a statement about the great Italians. From Christopher Columbus to the great Enrico Fermi.
Correct.
You know what I noticed yesterday when I was hanging out with the Tucson Women's Republicans is I always, whenever I kind of work with that kind of club and I talk with a club like that, there's so many classic Republicans that they don't do Facebook, okay? They don't do social media.
That's smart, yeah. Smart people. Republicans are smart people.
Well,
some of them.
Thank you. And they just work, right? You when you've worked on campaigns when you were working with Frank in the old days, right?
It's true.
And you knew there were these good people that weren't involved in the horse bleep of the party,
right? Not involved in the daily drama,
right? Mm-hmm. And They had a work ethic. Mm-hmm. They still have a work ethic.
Yep.
Some of them are getting a little long in the tooth, but they're still got the spirit, right? These are people who just work campaigns, right? They get ready every 2 years, depending on what's going on, right? They're going to knock on doors. They're going to make calls. They're going to seal envelope, whatever they're doing, right? They're doing it. And what's happened is all of these personalities have forgotten about those people. And this is the part when I criticize them, Republicans acting like jackasses, all right, one of the problems is you turn off even those people. And you're doing those people a disservice. Because they've been working hard, some of them, for 30, 40 years. I mean, Linda Barber, for God's sakes, is still working it after all these years. Right? I mean, that woman, it's just, it's kind of like I see these faces of the men and women who just want to do the job. And when I see these candidates that have not 1 ounce of humility to them, right? They just act like egomaniacal jackasses, okay? And they're like, why don't you love me? Well, because you're egomaniacal jackasses without an ounce of humility. That's the big, again, the lack of humility is such a turnoff to the average bear. And this is, so there is no humility to all the people that I criticize on the show. There's no humility. Very little. Carrie Lake, Wadsack, and I do want to thank Kathleen Wynn for blowing your grandkids' inheritance on the Wake Up Tucson. Love it. Thanks, girl. Little Katie's like, where's my dough, grandma? Meemaw. Oh, I blew it on Wake Up Tucson. That's beautiful. Just that, you know, I had a gentleman yesterday saying, well, you say that Republicans shouldn't be beating on you, but you beat on them. I don't think I've ever said they shouldn't beat on each other. I'm just telling you they do beat on each other, and this is the consequences. Right. But when you beat on them and so again, what happens is it's all about the attitude, right? We keep when we in the primary, they keep saying my opponent. Stop saying your opponent. That's the bad way to, because what happens is when you get vanquished by your opponent, what happens is you and your crew take your ball and go home because you've been vanquished by, quote, your opponent, instead of saying, hey, we're all trying to make the best case on who's going to be running in the general, right? And we want the most conservative who can actually win a race. That's where we're at. So that was my little rant after talking to the good folks that are actually in the trenches doing the work. So, and you work with these folks in the past. You know who I'm talking about.
Sure, and the one that always comes to mind for me, and there's a lot of them, this is the one I always think about, is Paralee Schneider.
Yep.
Just always, you know, always getting people together. Doesn't matter who the candidates are, and once we've got our team named, we go forward.
She's correct. And actually, I'm glad you brought her name
just
up.
She was as true as can be.
Her name was invoked yesterday because she's dealing with some health problems, Paralee. So well, prayers well and good soon, thoughts Paralee. For our friend Paralee.
Sweet, sweet person.
So Paralee is the one who asked me to moderate the Republican forum that they did in May. And I said, well, you're going to catch a couple of crap from the MAGA purity people. She's like, I don't care.
right? You're the best guy to do this job of making this happen, and everyone's going to have to get over it. And that was Para Lee. I did want to, Matt wanted, you know, we want to talk about the flirt variant. This one's the best, okay? There's, you're going to see stories of, this is from the LA Times, playing COVID roulette. This is the high, this is a headline from the LA Times. Some infected by flirt variant report their most unpleasant symptoms yet.
Oh boy.
And you're like, oh, what are the unpleasant symptoms?
The rest of the story that I probably don't want to hear, but please do inform me.
Terrible sinus pressure and headache.
Okay.
Oh, as we say, as the director would say, end scene.
And oh boy.
So wait, I can't
this
wait.
Is where, this is it, huh?
Bud Foster, right now, I'm demanding it. I'm going to knock on, like the biological clock is ticking for me, like my cousin Vinny. I need you to get over to Dr. Cullen right now and do a flirt variant story. And 17-year-old news producer at, give him a whole show. Just have Danny Mares introduce the show, and then Dan goes home. That's what I would do. So there's a, now that we've heard that the Secret Service director has resigned, there is a panel that's going to investigate the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. So, Matt, I want you to get Chevy Chase ready.
Yeah, okay. Chevy is ready. Chevy is ready.
And I'll do this with my finger when I'm ready, okay? You'll see the finger do that, okay? It's just my index finger for everyone on the radio.
Just for clarity, sure.
Francis Townsend, a former Homeland Security advisor to George W. Mark Flip, a former federal judge. David Mitchell, a Maryland State Police Superintendent and Delaware Department of Public Safety Secretary, and the ever-objective Janet Napolitano.
Thank God, the police.
Now you're saying, Chris,
fresh off of her success with Fast and Furious.
You really love me. You really, really love me.
Triumphant return.
And you say, well, Chris, she's straight up objective. Let's talk about Dean Martin. It's one of my favorites. Dean Martin story. No, not that Dean Martin. Former state treasurer Dean Martin, who also beat Carrie Lake by 125,000 votes. Dino, when they were doing budget games in the late 2000s, said that the budget was not, we kept on coming out publicly that the budget that she was working on with Republicans was not financially sustainable and was an open critic of the budget. So this always comes up when we have no fly lists for guns, when they say we want to have a no buy list for guns. Who makes that decision? So Dino and his lovely wife, who sad to say passed away, she had problems, health problems. He was going on a plane to go someplace overseas or wherever, and he gets to Sky Harbor, and they said, oh, you're not allowed, you're on the no fly list. Of course, Janet Napolitano was the Homeland Security Secretary at the time. So thank God Janet's on it. Thank God. All right, let's go to Brushfire Sean to finish off the day. Brushfire, greetings and salutations.
Happy Tuesday. And you know what I'm going to say. I have to do it. Happy Taco Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to do it in Tucson, Arizona.
Happy Taco Tuesday to you, sir.
I'm not talking Taco Bell. I don't even know how does Taco Bell survive here, Chris?
Cheap, and they have a drive-through, I guess, and they do commercials, which melts people's minds. You got. I just want to let you know you got about a minute and 43 seconds, so I want you to get to the meat of the matter.
Okay, real quick. Have you ever seen a movie called A Family Thing? Because Mark was on. I wanted to ask you guys, but I didn't want to interrupt. Have you ever seen A Family Thing?
I am not familiar with this movie. I'm looking it up right now. A Family Thing.
Robert Duvall.
Okay.
Robert Duvall and the big guy that played
James Earl Jones.
Star Wars.
Yeah, James Earl Jones.
Yeah, he played. Oh my God, Chris, I would suggest that as high as Evil is on my list, because me and Dick are actually watching the fourth season right now, and it is absolutely incredible.
I'm watching
it's
it
beyond
too.
Incredible.
I'm watching it too.
Okay. I will do one thing, and I'm going to say something about what you're talking about with Justine, whatever, Freedom.
Yes.
I'm about to throw a word down. Matt, get your hand on the button. If I were a policeman and somebody said to me, do you know who I am? The first thing I do is get the cuffs out. Because that is a threat. You know, that's a threat, Chris. Do you know who I am is a threat.
Correct.
That means if you mess with me, I can do things to you. It happened to me at the shop. The IRS came down. They violated private property. They came and started stealing my diesel. And the woman said to me, I'm from the IRS. I called the sheriff and I said, you got two options. Either I'm going to get a backhoe and a nail, or you're going to come down here and get her off my property. I'm from the IRS. That's a threat, right? You know that's a threat, right?
I'm with you. I understand. She did say in a social media post that she's, quote, I will be investigating Tucson police. So.
Oh, my. See? There you go. And I'll say one more thing, because we tow for these guys, and Chris, I don't give the name of my company for a reason. Tesla owners are, generally speaking, psychopaths. Every one of them.
All right, sir. Have a good day.
I will pay you to get on the air.
Have a good day, and happy Taco Tuesday, sir.
Tacos, baby. Hey, have a great day, Chris. Matt, you have a wonderful day, too. Everybody in Tucson, be nice.
Later, Shawnee. Mayor Ed Honey is coming up with Ted Maxwell and Jump in Tucson. You're on Wake Up Tucson. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.